Okay, I think the recording is live. And, well, let's introduce ourselves to the wider world.
Indeed.
Yes, off you go there. The man across from me is holding a bottle of...
Prosecco.
What is the bottle of Prosecco in aid of?
Well, I'm AJ, and I run a company
AJ
called
who?
Misfit.
Yeah,
AJ
yeah.
Leon.
Right, yeah.
The one and only.
Yeah.
No, I'm kidding. I'm sure there's...
I hope there isn't any
other.
Yeah. But maybe.
And I'm holding a bottle of Prosecco because a bottle of Prosecco is the Misfits victory dance. So anytime we're celebrating anything in our company, with our friends or our partners, we always have a bottle of Prosecco involved. And this is years and years. So Cheese went to the bar, who's our colleague at Misfit, and he bought this bottle of Prosecco because sitting down with you, Paul, is a victory for us. For us to sit
Guys, I'll come out in tears now if you're not careful. But
hey, I mean it. For us to share another meal with you, and it means a great deal to us.
Cheese, we've never met before, but you've got to say who you are to the... Because this is for people like Jane Boyd and
Diane
Brogan and Steve Rogan and anybody else that we all know, and even people in Cork. Cheese, who are you? Sorry, you've got to...
I'm Cheese King. I'm the CFO for Misfit Inc., and I couldn't be happier to be sitting next to this man.
And he's from New York. He's from the Lower East Side in New York City.
That's correct.
I've done a bit of them digging. Right.
I'm currently based out of the Philippines, though, which I'll have to tell you about later.
You're based in the Philippines. I told you this was going to be an interesting audio. Now, who's the woman across the table from me?
I am Melissa Leon, and I think we're just happy to be with Paul again. It's been probably, we saw you last 6 months ago, I think?
Yeah, we're in the White Horse Pub.
Yes.
In Ballincollig, on the west side of Cork City, in Ireland, on the day that Ireland beat France in the very last second of the most important rugby match of all. Ooh. The last match played by Brian O'Driscoll for Ireland, the most capped rugby player in the history of the entire game of rugby football ever. And you guys were here. And you saw the final pass.
Yep.
Was it forward or not?
Oh, it was most definitely forward.
No,
drifting.
For those of you who don't know what we're talking about, there was a moment of controversy in the last few seconds of the most important match. Look, we're eating chicken wings and ribs and... Somebody talk, because I'm eating.
And fries. Well, here we are. We're drinking Prosecco and Guinness. We're double fisting.
At this moment, yes.
You know, as we do. You know, Misfits do from time to time. It's okay. And, we're just enjoying as friends.
I'll tell you what we do.
Yeah.
This particular piece of audio is being recorded on the iPhone, on the voice app, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to email it to you, right? So we can all have it. And we can all share it any way we want. You see, I'll put it up on Audioboo, right?
Yeah, I love it.
But if we only do it up on Audioboo, you see, it'll be weighted in favor of all the people who know me and who haven't a clue who the hell you are.
Yeah.
And since you're much more interesting than me, I've got to get that in first.
I don't think so.
No. Every person is equally interesting around this table.
Indeed. I am.
Well, let's cheers to that.
Yeah, cheers to that.
Here we are. Here, the clink of Prosecco. Celebrating our community of gathering in this pub.
Right.
You know? And you know, geez, I gotta say something. From a certain perspective, you're a newcomer here because you weren't in the White House pub in Limerick 2 years ago. So you're now initiated, okay?
Indeed.
Yeah.
To the Misfits and to Paul.
Bless you all, bless you all. God, I'm so lucky you guys. I mean, you've come here. I mean, you should tell people how come you got here. I mean, I have it written down in my book, but Melissa, you tell the story. How did you get here?
Tell the story.
How did you get here to Cork?
Well, it's quite a long journey, but we were, let's see, I believe it was 3 days ago, we were in Austin for South by Southwest.
That's in the United States. That's in Texas.
You're right. Mm. That does require some explaining. Then we were in New York for 24 hours, which is where AJ and I and Cheese are actually from. and we were there for a glorious, glorious time with our family. And then we took the red eye to Dublin. We got in.
That's an airplane, by the way. That's an airplane. Just got to tell you.
Aer Lingus.
We got a translator.
Great airline. And then we got in at 5 a.m. this morning, took a cab to Dublin, took the train over to Cork.
To see our friends.
They say down to Cork here in Ireland.
Down to Cork.
You go over to Galway and down to Cork.
That's true. Yeah. That is very true.
And we did that to see our friends. And that and that's, I think, an interesting point of distinction.
Who have you met already today?
I mean, Roger Overall.
The great Roger.
The great Roger Overall.
Aidan, which I'll just
Aidan
say,
in, right?
Yeah, and I'll just say, is a smarter egg, Aidan, because that's his branding across all the web.
Yes.
And the one and only Paul O'Money.
Yeah, and I got a call. I mean, I was going home.
Yeah.
I was going home. I was literally getting my car going home when the message came in. I then had to send a message home saying, change of plan. Change of plan. I mean, talk about. Well, I tell you what, I'd have gone to the end of the earth to meet you guys.
Oh, likewise.
I really would have, you know. I mean, it would have been difficult to drive all the way to Donegal overnight tonight and got there in the morning. But if you had told me you were on the Aran Islands off the north coast of Donegal, I'd have had to get there.
Well, likewise. That's why we're here, man. You know, that's why we're here. We just want to spend time with you and... you know, we love you guys, and it means a lot to us to spend time with you and Roger and Aidan, and you know, I mean, you're a serious as a part of the Misfit community. It matters, you know, it matters to us. It matters to us a great deal, and we love.
I
you.
I feel myself to be part of the Misfits community. You know that? I mean, I do feel myself. I mean, you know, the thing about communities are that, you know, funnily enough, you. I think the best communities are ones that you sign into yourself. You know?
Yeah.
You actually say, I belong with those people.
Yeah.
They don't even know who I am.
Yeah.
They, I don't, you know, but I've decided that I'm one of them.
That's right.
So I'm going over to join them.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
you know? Absolutely.
Yeah,
I mean, that's
great.
How.
No, there's no fucking membership fee. There's there's no cards. There's no association.
You know,
there is just.
Wait till you're tapped on the shoulder now to be a member. You know?
Yeah.
No, none of that.
No.
Right? But I guess when you're a member of the Misfit community, you actually do something. You know, you don't just talk about it. You do something,
that's
don't
right.
you?
Yes.
What do you do if you're a Misfit? Tell me.
Well,
I have a reason for asking this.
I'll tell you
in a second.
First of all, I mean, I think most people that are part of our community, I think, are, and of their own accord, they're standing in defiance. Against a system of well-intentioned family, friends, colleagues that beckon them to comply against a society that wants us to be good boys and girls and do precisely what we're supposed to do. And
don't rock the boat.
Don't rock the boat.
Don't disrupt the status quo.
Precisely.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, get the job you're supposed to get. Go to the, you know, study the degree pattern that you're supposed to study. Live the life that you're supposed to live. And there are a few of us that decide that we're not going to relinquish our one and only life to the behest of other people, no matter who those other people are. And it could be parents.
Are we not going to put it off until we retire?
Mm.
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
That's the other thing.
Precisely.
I'm going to enjoy myself when I retire.
Right.
I can't tell you how many bus drivers in London.
Yeah.
I mean, I used to
work
in the buses in London, and
one
of the great tragedies was that some really great, great people had worked all the overtime God sent them, if you like.
Yeah.
And then the statistics were that fairly soon after retiring from the job, they popped their clothes.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Waiting for retirement.
Yeah.
My dad died when I was 14 years old. My dad died when he was 41 and I was 14. When that happened...
Shit, 41?
41. 41.
Oh, bloody hell.
Oh, and you look at that, you can sit there and pretend as though somehow some opulent retirement is promised to us all, but that's bullshit that a compliant society has sold us, you know, that we should just be, you know, pliable and we should just live the life that we're supposed to live until we get of age, you know, and 65, 66, 67 years old, whatever the retirement is. And then you'll go and travel and you'll do the interesting things in life. And I refuse to subscribe to that.
But you're right, we're not promised that. So
yeah, exactly. Nobody's promised
that.
Is that one of your key motivators? The fact that your dad died so young, that has told you that I'm not going to put off living my life for another day?
I think so. I mean, I can't possibly separate myself from that.
Yeah.
I can't possibly separate myself from 41 as an expiration date, right?
Yeah.
No matter how hard I try.
Yeah.
But I think also, empirically, you know, looking around at the world and looking around at friends that I've had and that I have, and looking at my own life and my early life that was completely geared towards making money, and I was very successful with a capital S. You know, I made more money than anyone I know today. I had a corner office in Manhattan. I had an outrageous bonus. All the things that should make you very happy.
Have you seen The Wolf of Wall Street?
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
I went to that last night.
Yeah.
Did you have those parties? No, you hang on. Melissa's here beside you.
Something like that. There are no midgets.
Did that party happen?
I'm
taking a photo because Joe just texted me asking where we were.
Joe Carey, the owner of the business that we're in.
Joe. Yes.
God, he might come and join us. Wow.
You better.
Wow. Look, one thing, on this audio, I got to find out, though, geez, how did you meet AJ and Melissa? What's the story? How long ago?
I have been working with AJ doing various financial services with him for the last 6 years since he was on Wall Street.
Six and a half years.
Oh, you go back to his Wall Street.
Indeed, I do. I knew the old AJ, and I'm very glad he's in the past. I've been working with for the past 6.5 years on different clients and with Misfit Inc.
You don't look a bit like a CFO. I mean,
I don't at all.
First of all, I thought you were his brother. the hair is the reason for that.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
But when you came in, I thought. And then, I realized all CFOs these days in the kind of the new kind of companies, you know, Twitter, Google, all that. They're all like you now, you know. The new uniform is to be a CFO.
The whole jacket.
But still, you know. So go on. Yeah. Sorry, I interrupted you.
Yeah, when I was in school, I was definitely everyone in my class was that stereotypical finance guy. And I never really subscribed to that. I am a finance guy, but I don't view money. I feel like most people view money. I don't place the value in it. I feel that most people do.
So you didn't have the experience AJ had. You were never corrupted by money. He was, of course, but you were never corrupted.
Yeah, as soon as I got out, I was doing bookkeeping and accounting for small clients in New York City.
He was a kid. He didn't get. He didn't have to.
Yeah, I never quite made to Wall Street.
Yeah.
Thank God I didn't, because I don't think I would have been able to say no.
Well, one of the interesting things that Cheese and I are doing at Misfit, and these are the, you know, it's one of those boring things that I don't know that matter to people, but he and I are devising something that we're calling impact accounting, which I believe the term was coined by Bucky Fuller, I believe, years ago. But I don't think it was ever built out.
Bucky Fuller.
Yeah.
I've heard that name.
Yeah.
That's an important person.
Yeah, philosopher.
Yeah, I can't remember anything about Bucky Fuller, but...
And there was a movement around Bucky, and I think that impact accounting was born around that. But it was never built out as a framework. But right now, Cheese and I, at Misfit, we're trying to figure out, so beyond ROI, beyond money, money's boring. You know, all it is numbers with dollar signs in front of it.
That's the only metric of success.
Right, precisely. That's not the only metric. And that seems poetic to hear. You know, it seems poetic, very esoteric, very hippie. tier. But I'm no fucking hippie. You know, we're from the Lower East Side. We're finance guys.
Oh, right.
And
oh, right.
So when I look at numbers, you know, I say to myself, well, what is the true impact? You know, what is the true impact of a Misfit Incorporated? What is the true impact of people who do a great variety of things with their business, some of which doesn't generate any profit, some of which loses money? You know, a third of our operations loses an absurd amount of money. It's our social, humanitarian, cultural work. About, you know, another third kind of breaks even, but it's interesting work that we feel like pushes the envelope in industries that we want to push the envelope in, and only a third of which actually derives a profit. Most people would look at that from the onset and say that's a failed business.
But I tell you what, it does seem completely and utterly absurd to say that I put water into, you know, hundreds of thousands of people's homes and I lost money.
Right.
I mean, we would all kind of, what do you mean? You put water into hundreds of thousands of clean water into people's homes.
I don't think that should be viewed as insane, though.
No, but I just think it's so, I mean, it's almost like put the two things together.
Yeah, sure.
I lost money putting water into houses. You know, if only we reframe it. I invested a certain amount of money, and I got that effect, right?
Precisely.
But if you put it the other way around, it actually almost makes a point.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, absolutely.
In fact, that might be a very good blog post I'm thinking about. Yeah. The 21 ways I have lost money in my life, right?
Yeah.
What are the best ways? You imagine interviewing people that are saying, is, you know, tell me about the ways you've lost money, you know?
Yeah.
That would be an interesting...
Especially with that crowd, the best ways you've lost money.
Yeah, best ways you've lost money.
Because that's probably where you've learned the most.
Well, also, it may be the way in which you've had the biggest impact.
True.
Yeah.
I mean, look at MisfitCon last year. MisfitCon, which is our conference we produce in Fargo every year. Last year, we lost, after the dust settled, we checked all the numbers, did the analysis, we lost almost $20,000.
Right.
Mm. Almost $20,000. I don't consider that a loss at all. Do you?
No, I don't.
I look back at that last year, and I would say that by far, that is one of the greatest things that we did with respect to impact. Yeah. How lives were impacted, the things that people did from that conference are significant.
How many lives are changed?
How many businesses were started?
Absolutely. In their career?
How many books were launched? How many conferences were launched? And all that stuff. Now we're trying to figure out how do you measure that? For the most part, it's qualitative data, and that's why it's difficult to enter into a spreadsheet. But how can we bring that in to have some sort of framework to promulgate impact accounting and say, well, here's another way.
So you're working on impact accounting, right? Now, look, let's get personal, right? Let's actually finish. I don't want this to finish off this because we're going to stop the conversation in a couple of minutes. I've only got 20 minutes recording time on this thing. And let's talk to Jane Boyd in Vancouver, can we?
The reason is
I particularly want to talk to Jane Boyd in Vancouver because I think what actually happened is that Jane Boyd wrote a blog post. I found it by complete accident. I wrote a comment on her blog post. And I started communicating with her, and one day I was talking to her on Skype, and she said, are you going to meet AJ? And I said, who? And she said, AJ. I said, who's AJ? I mean, she said the same thing to me about SubCon. Are you going to SubCon? I said, no. He said, he's flying across the Atlantic to be a keynote speaker. And I thought, well, no, that means he's flying to London, UK.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Jane Boyd is responsible for bringing us together. We would not be around this table. Jeez, I would not be meeting you if it wasn't for Jane Boyd.
That's true.
Right, you know? So say something to... Have you met Jane Boyd?
You know Jane.
Yeah, no,
you know
of course,
Jane? Of course. Yeah. Say hello to Jane.
Thank you, Jane, for introducing all of us. I had no idea how deep the connections actually went. Just sitting here, there... It is insane that the connections I'm seeing between all of us. Thank you so much. That was a great...
You know, one of the cool things about Jane is that Jane is probably most certainly one of the most generous people that I have ever
that
met.
That was it. Her blog post was about generosity.
Was it?
It was. You know, she's moving house?
No.
Yeah, she is. She's moving house. Now, where she is, I sent her a direct message on Audioboo a little bit while ago. We're down to the last 6 seconds. Melissa, say goodbye.
Love you, Jane. We'll see you soon.